Amen, amen. You may be seated. Glory, hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. As Joel brings that up. No, you can move it. I was just waiting on that. Ha ha! You got it, baby? Casey is at home taking care of that beautiful Charlotte Jane who was born this week. Amen. Like 6 pounds and how many? 6 pounds and 13 ounces. How many? 20 inches long. Man, I tell you, we have all feel like we have a piece of Charlotte Jane with us. Raise your hand if y'all have stood in agreement with us that Casey and Jenny would have a baby. Amen. Amen. They had been trying and trying and just had some difficulty in being able to conceive. And bless God. God is good. Amen. She is a promise of the Lord. And let me tell you, she's beautiful. She's perfect. She is a daughter of the Most High God. And we all get to see in here a miracle when we get to join together and raise that beautiful child up in the way of the Lord. Amen. We're glad that each and every one of you are here this morning. We got up and we greeted, and I don't know if our host ministry was able to get everybody. So if anybody that was a visitor did not get your gift, then please just lift up a little hand real quick. Did anybody not get their little gift? Miss Deborah, you see? We have somebody over here, Miss Deborah. Amen. So you are at a great time to be at CCAM this morning. Amen. It's going to be a good day, Pastor Greg. Hey, we are so blessed to do life with each other. You know, we have our little hashtag thing that says CCAM family, and we truly believe that. When Paul and I began this ministry, we wanted to do something that was different, something that the other 76 churches in Minden were doing. We looked at everything. We changed up a whole lot of things and said, whatever they're doing, let's do something different. And ever since that moment, we've looked at a need. We've looked at a need. If there's been a need, we've asked God to equip us to fulfill the need. If God gives you a vision of a need, then He has placed that vision and that ability inside you to go fix that need. Amen. So as we began to see thing after thing, ministry being birthed out of here, ministry being brought up and reaching the community, we are a world outreach center. We are a missions-minded church. And Paul and I have said, I don't even know who we originally heard it from, but that you'll never go to the world unless you're willing to cross the street. Who was it that originally said that?
Heidi Baker.
Heidi Baker, who y'all know who I love me some Heidi. You'll never reach the world. You'll never reach the world unless you're willing to cross the street to help someone that's in need. And that's been our heart. And when we began to look at the connection that we had many years ago with Teen Challenge, it took on a very personal ministry to us. And as we began to partner with Teen Challenge, once again, we began to see another need. Another need. And you're going to find out about that need in just a moment. But this is the scripture that I want to let you start with this morning. It's the word that we use in Freedom School. It's the word that can transform your life. It's in Galatians 5, verse 1. Listen to it. This is in the Passion Version. It says, let me be clear. Let me be clear. And I love how the Passion says that. In other words, I'm passionate about this. Come on, let's not make no mistake about this. You hearing what I'm saying? Are you listening to what I'm saying? Let me be perfectly clear. That's a very aggressive word, isn't it? Let me be clear. The Anointed One has set us free. Come on, shout. He has set us free. Amen. Not partially. Come on, but completely and wholly and wonderfully free. Amen. We must always cherish this truth and stubbornly refuse to go back to the bondage of our past. This morning you're going to hear testimonies of freedom, testimonies of love, testimonies of truth. And I'm going to let Jordan Gray come up, who is our director of the Generation House. Start us off. Yep.
Good morning, and it's Jordan Woods. Thank you, Mom. Thank you. I am not gray anymore. Thank you. I am married. Okay. That good-looking specimen back there, he's married, okay? That's right. He's in the back ride. He's on the back row today. We have some family that came, so he got a pass to sit back there with them today. I know. So I'm going to introduce our first lady this morning. Her name is Megan McLaughlin, and everybody knows Megan, and she has been with me the longest. Oh, no, I'm not going to get emotional. I'm okay. She graduated pretty much almost a year ago from Teen Challenge, but she was with us months before that. So really, she's been with us a year and some change. And, man, it's crazy. I mean, it's fitting that she starts it because we've all known her the longest, right? Doesn't mean she means more to us, but we've seen her transformation over time. People here who have gotten the opportunity to know her can see that. So she's going to start us off this morning. So if y'all will give her a round of applause for Ms. Megan.
Oh, my gosh. Hi, everyone. As y'all know, my name is Megan McLaughlin. I'm 32 years old, and I stand before y'all today set free and redeemed by the power of Jesus Christ and only Him. So a little bit of my background, but we're not going to stay in the past too long. I grew up in a broken home. I turned to drugs at a very young age. I started using drugs when I was 12 years old, and it just gradually progressed into crack cocaine addiction by the time I was 18 years old. And I was in and out of rehab for years. I turned 30 years old, and I ended up choosing to go back to Teen Challenge. But before I went back to Teen Challenge, I was sitting there lost in a dope house, and I thought that I couldn't go back to Teen Challenge. But one day I got a message from the director from Mount Grace Teen Challenge. Her name is Jessica Arsement. And she said, "When are you coming home, baby?" And I didn't think that I could go home. So when she said that, I was like, "Huh, I can go back. I can go back to the beginning where I met Jesus, where I had a true encounter with God." So that began my journey back into the doors of the Bridge Teen Challenge. And I stepped back foot into Teen Challenge January 25th, 2018. And my life has never been the same. While I was at the Bridge, God wooed me. He showed me true love and compassion. He helped me to start breaking things off of me like fear, guilt, unworthiness, uncleanliness, because my past is full of a lot of dark, dirty things, things that I never thought I could forgive myself for, but I did. So after I came to Winfield and stuff, I started interning. Well, almost towards the end of my internship, because of some circumstances, wonderful circumstances now. At the time, it seemed like it was horrible. It felt like my life was ending. I felt rejected. I was hurt. But I came here to Minden, Louisiana, broken. After being restored, I felt broken all over again. But my life really started when I stepped foot into the Generation House. I came in August 14th or 17th of last year, and my life has never been the same. I was so full of anxiety and unworthiness still, a lot of guilt, a lot of shame. And when I stepped foot in there, I was met by Ginger and Jordan, and they loved on me, and they pushed me. And then I was placed into a wonderful employment position by Miss Jody Martin and at Go Fresh, and that is a place, a safe haven for women like me to come and work and regain my skills, my work skills. You know, I'm a hard worker. I always have been. Even when I was on the streets, I worked hard for my drugs. But so now I'm working hard for the good. Anyways, Miss Jody's really loved on me. She's always asked me if I'm ever having a bad day, are you praying in tongues? Well, I try. But I finally, the past like 4 months, I guess, I started really like pushing in and trying to pray in tongues more on a daily basis. And ma'am, when I tell you, it has set me free and it has strengthened me so much in my inner being to where I have peace. I rarely walk around with shame, with anxiety. I was so anxiety ridden when I came here. I used to go into the bathroom and cry and pray while I was at work. And it's no big deal to me anymore. So that's one thing. So then while I've been at Generation House as well, I have grown so much, but I've also been able to overcome some things. I had goals, and I still have many goals. But some of the goals that I've just recently been able to check off my list are, I got my license. I got to pay off all of my court fines. Whoop, whoop. That was like $1,500 just to get my license. And then it was another like $400 to get my license. And then what else? Oh, 4 felony charges got dropped in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So I'm not even a convicted felon when I deserve to be under the jail. Not even in a cell, under the jail because of my past actions. But what else has happened? I've been able to be restored to my daughter. Her name's Fallon. She got to come for a whole month to spend with me. And that restoration is so beautiful because I wasn't even ever supposed to see her again. My mom and my dad told me that they had washed their hands of me and that I could never see my daughter again. But God, He stepped in and He showed them that I'm not who I was, that I'm a brand new creation, that I won't go back. And that's all because of Jesus Christ. And also, a few other things before I put the mic down. God brought me the man of my prayers. His name is Stephen. Everyone knows him. And woo! And he has truly shown me what unconditional love is. He loves me for me. He loves me through all my little craziness. And he treats me like the princess that I am. And I'm so blessed to have him in my life. And I think that's it. And I also got a car recently. I named her Ginger after one of my favorite people. And she's red. So, and I just wanted to share this with you. A year ago, almost today, September 21st, I graduated from Teen Challenge. So tomorrow will be my year mark from graduating Teen Challenge. And the scripture that I used, it's not up there, Galatians 5:1. So let me be clear. The Anointed One has set me free. Not partially, not a little bit, not just a tad bit free, but He has completely set me free, wonderfully free. We must always cherish this truth and stubbornly, and everyone knows I'm pretty stubborn, refuse to go back into the bondage of our past. Thank y'all very much.
Man, when she talked about Stephen, I heard Jessica behind me going, oh gosh, oh gosh. Because how many of y'all, you know, in the church, we love Stephen, right? You know, we do. And man, he is, they say that, the word says that one who finds a wife finds a good thing. And Megan, you are a good thing. And we are very, woo! Yeah. Oh, so good. But it's so funny that Mom did that scripture because she took it. Because that was Megan's scripture that she did at her Teen Challenge graduation. It's been her scripture through, like, her entire, her life scripture that she stands on. So when she did it, Megan went, oh, gosh. I mean, I just don't even know what to do. But that was awesome. So our next lady that we're going to have come up is Miss Jasmine Thomas. She... Ooh, she does not like public speaking. I don't know how I got her to do this, but we did. So we're going to have her come up and share her story, okay? Everybody, welcome Ms. Jasmine.
Wow. I was hoping I didn't have to hold a microphone. So, okay. My name is Jasmine. I'm 32 years old, and I'm from a small town in Texas. I grew up with a pretty good family. My mom was, she is still a very God-fearing woman. She taught me about Jesus, but you don't really understand that there's a difference to know about Jesus and to have a relationship with him. So I wrote these notes so I wouldn't squirrel, and I'm so nervous right now. Okay, so I guess let me just follow my bullets. Growing up, I did deal with a lot of abuse, different kinds. And I think that my way of escape was through school, my academics, and sports. You have to do good to get out of town, to get away from where you're from. That way you don't ever have to go back. You know, you have to go to school to become something. I think now sometimes, like, the girls in Jordan kind of have to deal with, like, my attitude that I don't mind being told stuff, but it's kind of hard for me to take what people are trying to give to me, you know. Not that I feel like I don't deserve it, but I guess I've just had that mindset, like, you have to do certain things to, you know, I guess to maybe deserve it, you know. And so my view of authority, I've never been in any trouble. I've never been to jail or anything, so I've been okay with, like, following rules to a certain extent. Obviously, I've been in trouble. Otherwise, I wouldn't be in Teen Challenge. But when I was 18, after my high school graduation, I was raped, and I did reach out to authority, and they didn't help me. And so I think, like, when that happened, I just felt like my view was kind of distorted. You know, when people try to help you, you just got to be careful, because, you know, my mind was just, like, playing tricks on me, you know. So I think going into my adulthood, having to deal with that and deal with the stuff I dealt with as a kid, I dealt with a lot of anxiety, and I was angry a lot. And I don't like to fight or anything like that, but I think I always found myself in that position. And so my son, I know a lot of y'all know my son, he's 7, and his dad took a lot of took a lot of that. That mean part of me, you know, my mouth, my hands. And so around that time, I'd already been with him for about 8 years, and I was introduced to dope because I thought it was going to take away my anxiety and my anger, but it made it 10 times worse. And so about 2 years into my addiction, I left him and my son. And I was homeless. And I had just got my nursing license, so you kind of think, like, what are you doing? But I quit my job, and I left, and I was in a really abusive relationship, and I was in bondage to, like, fear, I think, was the biggest thing, like, in regret because of what I did. So I felt like I just deserved that stuff, you know. And so, you know, when you're scared, you do a lot of stupid stuff. And I just kind of ran and kept going back to this guy even after I was hit so much I had a miscarriage. You know, you just, you don't think about it. You don't want to do dope. You know, you don't want to be stuck in that. But you just end up there. I was in my addiction for about 4 years. And then in 2019, I came to Louisiana. I tried to come to Louisiana twice before, but it didn't work. And so I came to Teen Challenge in 2019. I got to the point where I had an apartment, but, like, I wasn't even able to feed my kid no more. Like, the only reason I called Tanya to come get him was... because I had no more... I had no more food in my refrigerator. And so I told her, you know, to come and get him and I'll go. And so I came, and my son's been in Bossier, and for about almost 2 years now, and he knows I've been in Teen Challenge. He knows why. He knows everything. I've been honest with him. But I think the biggest part of me being in Teen Challenge, I've learned what it has meant to have a personal relationship with God, and that when you're saved, like, you're not saved for you. And, like, I hear Pastor Paul talk about that all the time, but it's really true. That's like you getting a bunch of food. Like, what if y'all had the pantry and didn't give it to nobody? You know, it's the same thing. Like, when you're saved, it's just not for you. And so I think that kind of was a wake-up call when they called me back in February and told me my dad, my real dad, he had 3 weeks to live. And I never thought, like, oh God, I gotta leave Teen Challenge. Like, I never thought that or anything, but I knew I wanted to see him. And he ended up passing away, but he was saved in the hospital room. And he was saved in there with me, my brothers, and all of our kids. And we had never been in the same room with him. And so, like, at that moment, I knew, like, okay, God, you're not doing this just for me. Like, you're doing this. Maybe not just for my dad either, but, you know, you're doing this for other people. So now I'm at the Generation House. I've been there since February. I feel like this place is a perfect example of what Christ's love should look like. Like, everything that y'all do is what it should look like. Like, y'all don't judge us. You're not telling me, well, you're going to sleep here because this is what you did, or you are not going to be able to do this because this is what you said. You know, you're not judging us. You're just treating us all the same as we get here. Giving us all that same equal chance, and y'all are able to do that because of God. You know what I'm saying? And so I feel like if people need to know what we have to look like as women who are trying to walk this out, y'all are a great example of that, all of y'all. Katie, Travis, every single one of y'all are perfect examples. And y'all don't treat me no way. Even after I got in trouble, y'all still don't treat me no way. You know, so, and that's a big deal, because I think a lot of us are used to having to do stuff to get what we need, and you got to be a certain way, you got to look a certain way, and we don't have to do that. And so I feel like also it's a place to learn how to be a godly mother, a godly a productive citizen, without having to learn how to do it on our own. So I think that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Well, I'm glad I talked her into doing it. That was the first time. So in Teen Challenge, any of us women who have been in here, because there's more than just the women that are speaking today that are in the house, I just picked four to do it that have been here a little bit longer. But Jasmine, I don't know how she got out of this, but you have to do your testimony as a student in Teen Challenge. Y'all know when they come, they have ones they choose that get up here and tell their whole story. Jasmine never had to do that. I don't know how she got out of that, but she did. And man, they... Shame on them, because that was awesome, and I'm so happy for you. The Word of God says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the
word of our testimony.
Yes, that's our church. That was awesome. So our next lady is actually a Minden native originally, and this will be her first time sharing her story in her hometown. So this is going to be amazing. I've already heard it, and it was amazing. All right, so everybody please welcome Miss Angela.
So I had to write mine down on paper because I will squirrel really bad. So my name is Angela, and I'm from right here in Minden, Louisiana. I was born 39 years ago into a family with an abusive alcoholic father that was a fifth-generation white supremacy and a scared mother that loved the Lord and all her family. I was taught at a very young age that what happened behind closed doors stayed there, so I would have to say I became very good at faking who I was. My mom made sure I grew up in a church and learned about God at a very young age. I always believed in God and thought as a child, as long as I believed in Him and did what I was supposed to do, I would go to heaven. I even believed most of my life that as long as I did good deeds, they would cancel out the bad. You see, the certain church I went to as a child was one that preached hellfire and brimstone and believed God to be a punishing father. So when I became pregnant at the age of 16 out of wedlock, I began to run from God. 5 years later, I would have my second child out of wedlock. The lies of the enemy had taken over, and I thought God could never forgive me. I suffered with gallstones most of this second pregnancy, not being able to do anything about them until my son was born. They prescribed me pain pills. Little did I know this would be the beginning of an addiction that would take me to hell, the pits of hell and back. When my son was born, the doctor removed my gallbladder, which in turn removed my prescription. Without a prescription, I did what any addict would do and began to buy them off the streets. Shortly after, a person I trusted introduced me to meth. Being much cheaper than pills, I tried it and was hooked the very first time. I thought I was strong enough to do the drug instead of it doing me, but it wasn't long before it began to control me. 6 years later, I would lose my dad to cancer. This is when I would reveal a secret that had been eating me alive since the age of 5, that my brother had raped me. The relief I felt was short-lived, and then I only wanted to stuff the shame and guilt. This had always been the pattern of my life, to stuff, hide, or cover up what was happening. 5 short years later, I lost my mom, and this is when my addiction spiraled out of control. I no longer tried to hide anything. The drug was now controlling my every move and thought. I had lost all hope. In and out of jail, rehab, abusive relationships that nearly took my life, losing all the ones I loved, none of this was ever enough to quit. Until my 7th arrest outside of my hometown. I was arrested on 12 felonies and a grand jury indictment. I was looking at some serious time. In that jail is where I hit my knees and surrendered my life to God. That very day is where I began the relationship that would change everything, my relationship with God. 4 months later, after being arrested, I was offered the opportunity to go to Louisiana Adult and Teen Challenge. God used this program to teach me not only about Him, but myself also. While in TC, I became the person God had always intended me to be. I learned what true love was and how to give it. I learned that I was full of love, peace, joy, compassion, and so much more. And the best part was, I didn't want to keep this a secret. I wanted everyone else to feel what I was feeling. Early on in the program, I heard God tell me I would do 18 months and go back to Minden. So when I went to court 6 months into the program and the judge dropped 10 felonies in my court order, I wondered why God would tell me 18 months if I was able to leave at 6. Knowing my God was a God of completion, I stayed another year. Little did I know God was preparing a safe place in Minden for me to come home to, the Generation House. Through my obedience, I learned my identity in Christ and that my purpose was to reach the unreachable. I had always questioned why God let all the bad happen to me, but I learned that I had to be severely tarnished, so when I came back to Minden, people would see me like the Samaritan woman at the well and know that it was no other way but God that changed me. I was meant to bring light to a community I once snuffed out with darkness. Since coming to the Generation House in June, God has blown my mind. He has given me a job, my license back, was donated a car, relationships I thought would never see again are being restored. People trust me again. God has given me multiple opportunities to tell my story, and I was even given the opportunity to take my little cousin to Teen Challenge this past week. My future plans are to go to school and become a counselor. I want to be able to share my heart, listen to their stories, and offer help to someone who is hurting like I once was. One of my favorite scriptures is 2 Timothy 2:21, which says, "Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work."
Told you it was good.
I'm going to have our last lady come and share her story. So I thought it fit best that I had my in-house directors, and I'll explain more of what that is for those of you who don't understand necessarily the setup of Generation House. We'll dive into that in a minute. But I had Ms. Megan McLaughlin start. She is one of our in-house directors, and then I'm going to have our last lady come up, and she is also our other in-house director, and her name is Ms. Annalisha Bird, if you give her a hand.
My heart is racing so bad right now. So, yeah, that was a hard night. September the 4th of 2018, I escaped from a house where my husband had traded me off to his drug dealers. And I was kept there for 48 days and was raped, abused. I was starved. But I'm going to back up just a little bit. I had ended up marrying a man and he hurt me so bad. He started drugging me without my knowledge, and I ended up becoming addicted to sleeping pills because all I wanted to do was sleep so I didn't have to think about the pain or to see how hurt that my kids were, because they were just... I hurt them and not realizing it, just sleeping my life away. And a couple of years passed and things started getting real bad. And my sister had to step in and have my boys removed from me. So after losing my kids, things really got bad. And this is when I willingly dove into a meth addiction. And it nearly killed me. But this night right here, right before I was able to escape, I overheard my abusers talking about murdering me. And this is when I hit my face And I cried out to God, and I begged him if he would just make a way out for me. I would go wherever he wanted me to do. Go wherever he wanted me to go. Do whatever he wanted me to do, however long he wanted me to do it. In September the 13th, the 2018, I walked into the doors of Teen Challenge. I was terrified of men. I didn't want men around me. And Brother Andy reassured me that nobody was going to hurt me there. So I go through the program, and I end up getting that wonderful diamond package of a restart. Praise the Lord. It wasn't easy, but it was worth it. I can't help but keep looking back at that just to see where God has me at right now. I'm not meaning to embarrass anybody, but my family's actually sitting in here today. They're here to support me. And after coming to Generation House, y'all, I just got thrown into it. I didn't have no time to prepare to come here or anything. It was just, you're going. And I got here, and Miss Jody Martin blessed me with an amazing job. I am surrounded by people that love me, that bring out the best in me, even on my bad days when I have attitude. She puts me in check real quick. But I'm standing here right now, and I hope, you know, that if there's women that are watching this live, or if you are sitting in here and you or someone you know are struggling, and y'all were just paralyzed in fear like I was, I'm telling you, there is hope. Change is possible, but you got to submit. You got to be willing to surrender your life. And you just got to let God do it. This is not in my own strength. This is God. Generation House is a wonderful place. Like Jordan said, I'm there, and I get to help ladies, coach them along and everything. We love each other, and sometimes we want to kill each other, but, I mean, it's good. One of the hardest things that I struggle with being here is not having my kids, but I wouldn't have it any other way. He's done restored me, and look back there, he's restoring relationships in my family where it needs to be restored at. I'm sitting back there, and I'm looking at my mama and my daddy. I hurt them so bad. But they've forgiven me. They have forgiven me, and our relationship is stronger than it ever has been. And I know that God's going to be faithful, and he's going to bring my boys to me. So to the women that are out there and you don't have your kids, I'm telling you, it's possible. You just got to keep pushing through. With sheer determination and perseverance, you can do it. If I can do this, looking back at that, to this, anybody can. My scripture is Matthew 10:28. Do not fear those who want to kill your body but cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. There ain't no man on the face of this earth that you need to be scared of. Amen. No man. Amen. Nobody. And I honestly believe that if I would have known who I truly was in Christ, it wouldn't have happened. Now I know who I am, and I'm not scared. I'm not scared anymore. I'm ready to just face the world head on, headstrong. It's one thing about me. I am stubborn, and when I set my mind to it, it gets done. So I just wanted to bring awareness, you know, about human trafficking. this is where they get you at. They get inside your head, strip you of your power, do a lot of brainwashing. Where I was at, they even almost had me convinced that they had done killed my family. And I almost gave up because I almost bought into it and believed it. But that night at the hospital, when my sister walked into the room, all I could ask her, is Mama okay? Are the boys okay? And she reassured me. And 2 weeks later, I walked into Teen Challenge. So my future, my dreams, I want to open up a safe house for battered women and children. So, I mean, this is really all I got. Yeah. God's good.
There are so many tissues up here. Hello. Wow. Got a whole... There we go. Yeah, that's a whole lot of stuff. So that was awesome, and that was Annalisa's first time to share her testimony. She got out of it in Teen Challenge, too. I just don't know how y'all got away with that. They were like, they made Megan do it, Angela, me, Tiffany, Kelly. I mean, we all had to do it. Nikki, Knapp did it. I mean, I'm just saying. Maybe they just eased up on you guys. We just got the harsh part of it. So our journey's been only a year. That's as long as it's been. We've been open. Our doors have been completely open for a year. Since that time, we've had 9 women come through the house. And you might say, well, wow, that's like 12 months, really not 9 women. And when I tell you I wouldn't have had it any other way, I wouldn't have had it any other way. We've had opportunities to sow into the lives of not only these women, but their children, to show them what church looks like, because when you're in Teen Challenge, you're traveling doing ministries like this all the time, raising awareness for their drug campaigns, because y'all know that as America as a whole, we are under attack from a world of drugs. Since coronavirus has started, the suicide rate has went through the roof, and the overdose rate has just skyrocketed because of isolation. And in this time, we've had real quality time with these women, with each one that have stayed and the ones that have gone on. And to just explain to the visitors and people who weren't here last year, let me just explain the dynamic of the house. We are a transitional living facility for women only, coming out of faith-based rehabilitation programs like Teen Challenge. We really are more so partnered with Teen Challenge because they have trust in us. A girl who didn't even complete their program, they now trust to put women in her care. That's crazy. I mean, I just never thought that would happen, but it's not me that they trust. It's the Spirit of God inside of me. It's this church and the vision and the heart of the people who have worked so hard, you know? I mean, you guys get it. So when the women come to us, the requirement is they have completed a 6-month or longer faith-based program. All the ones who have come to us have completed the 12 months of Teen Challenge. Now, why is this ministry important? Why would people want to give to this ministry? Well, you heard it. Where would they have went if we did not exist? They had burned every relationship with their parents. Every single relationship. Their kids didn't trust them. Their parents weren't going to let them come back in their home. I mean, my gosh, we're in a program for 12 months where we see our parents, what, maybe 3 times a year? Not even that. So how could they trust us if we have been hidden in the presence of God in the secret place of a safe haven like Teen Challenge? Where would y'all would have went? It takes time to build trust after so many times drug addicts, not anymore, people who we used to be, had treated our parents, our family members, our friends, our people that we worked for. They're not going to trust us right when we get out. That's just a lot of talking, not a lot of showing. And also, we don't really know how when we get out. We're told when we can wake up. We're told when to go to bed. We're told who we can talk to, who we can't. So it's almost like when the women leave the program, they just kind of have this freedom where they're like, oh, I can go to the bathroom by myself. I don't have to tell you. I don't have to ask anybody that I can go to the restroom. I mean, it's weird. Y'all know it's weird. I remember asking my mom, we were eating. I was like, can I go to the restroom? She's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, I'm just letting you know. I'll be right back. So the vision of this transitional living facility came out of a place in my life where the girls that I was in the program with were going back home. I went through Teen Challenge myself. Everybody here knows my story. It's not important. They have to share, to really see what the fruit of our labor looked like. Every person that worked on the house, every person that donated to the house, to the people who show up and spend time with them, to hear, like, this is what it was for. This is what it was all about. Thank God. Thank God that we did this. Because I've seen moms get to talk to their kids again. When Megan said it earlier that her daughter got to come stay with us for a month, you guys, it was so much restoration in that relationship. And it was such a blessing that we had a place that her parents trusted that her daughter could actually come stay with us. That's unheard of. It's unheard of. So a year ago, they have to stay with us for a minimum of 6 months. That's what they signed their contract for, is just be with us for 6 months. And I tell every girl that comes in, you don't have a time limit of when you have to leave. It's when you're ready. It's when you have figured out, when you trust yourself enough to go out into the world and know that no matter where you go, no matter what you do, we're always there with you. CCAM, we're with you, always. And so I watched the video that we did last year for the Generation House Takeover Sunday. And I remember I'd said, God, what do I want for these women? And the word that I said was that I wanted them to be atmosphere changers. For them to be able to go back to the place that they came from, if they're ever called back, Angela, and not let the environment around them change who they are or change who they know to be. And over time, we learn, right? We figure out things. And the Holy Spirit's so funny. He told me, all right, Jordan, it's you understand it a little bit more now. And I said, okay, it's identity. When you figure out who you are, no one, nothing, no circumstance can change what you do. You know whose you are. You know where you come from. You know what you've been delivered from. And these women, They're in Teen Challenge figuring out who they don't want to be. That's what we figure out, is that it was not worth it, everything. So when they come out, it's figuring out, okay, who am I? Megan McLaughlin, when she walks around, she walks with identity now. Y'all see it? She's got the tude now. Mm-hmm. She is confident. But it's figuring out who you are, who these ladies are outside of everything that they did, outside of everything that they've done, outside of broken relationships, abandonment, rejection, all of those things, they figure it out. So whenever they step out of our doors and they step into the world, it doesn't matter where they are. It doesn't matter if their family members tell them, oh no, you're still that same girl. You just wait. I'm going to watch you fall. It doesn't matter when their friends come back and say, oh, you're back in town, huh? We're going to, ooh, yeah. Oh, wait. But when you know who you are, no one can change anything. Can't change how you see yourself. Because if you know whose you are, then you know who you are. And at CCAM, that's what we try to do. So I want to touch on a little something else. So in the Generation House, each woman that comes in gets a set of spiritual parents, is what we call them. Because when they come to our house, imagine if they went back home to their parents that don't understand that they have to be at a Bible study once a week. They have to be at church on a Sunday, right? So if they went back home, they'd be putting all that responsibility on their parents that they just burned, you know, that they just are trying to be mother and daughter, father and daughter back with. They have to be responsible for getting them to all of those places? I don't think so. Oh, you want me to wait on you and get you to church? When some of their family members aren't even saved, they're still in addiction. So what we did was we filled the gap, and we had people in this church who have volunteered to be spiritual parents. And that is one of the key ingredients to this house. It is so important, and we are so grateful for every group, every person that has volunteered to do this with these women. You don't understand
what it means to have a married couple, a single woman, whatever. Look at those women and encourage them. Bring them into their families. Bring them around their children. You're letting them hang out with your kids when most of them, their parents won't even let them around their kids. Do you know what that does for someone? It humbles them and it makes them feel honored and grateful. If you have been a set of spiritual parents in this church, I want you to stand up. You have to. You guys have no idea the seeds that you have planted into these women's lives. You've made them trust themselves. You've made them understand who they are. And for that, we are forever grateful. You guys have really set the tone. This has been really the part of this that has made it just so powerful. It really has. And I know that you guys have been blessed from it too. And even if they leave, they'll never forget the kindness that was shown to them. They'll never forget what a godly marriage looks like. What good parenting looks like. What supporting your children looks like. You guys show them that. You guys show them what a Christ-centered family is supposed to be. And we're so grateful. Identity. I believe 3 out of the 4 of the ladies that spoke talked about that they knew who they were. Annalisa said it before she got down, and that if she would have known who she was, she would have never been in that situation. These women won't go back to abusive boyfriends. They won't go back to men that tell them that they can't, that they won't, that they never will. Because they know that all things are possible through Christ Jesus, whom we believe, correct? They'll never go back to that lifestyle. Because when they come here, they start to trust the Father. They start to trust other people, Christians, and seeing what that looks like. But trust themselves. But trusting God is the key ingredient. And this church shows what that looks like. We've trust God all the time. Jessica shows up at the food pantry and trusts that God's going to bring volunteers and thousands of pounds of food. And guess what? Has He ever disappointed you? Never. A lot of times we get so caught up in the religious part of this thing that we call Christianity, to be followers of Jesus. It's a relationship. A lot of times we talk about this set of rules, right, that we have to follow. And that makes us a Christian. That makes us this. But if you don't have a relationship with somebody, then why would you do right by them? You would never do right by them. Serena will always do right by her husband because she has a relationship with him. She won't cheat on him. She won't badmouth him. She won't do any of those things because she has respect of a mutual relationship. These women have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And they understand that when you're in a relationship, that He won't harm them, right? So when they step out in faith and believe that God's going to bless them with the car or restoration with their children, you know, they know He does not disappoint. He doesn't, because His word never returns back void. They are testimonies of the goodness of God. And we always try to say, if you know somebody, which everybody in this church knows somebody that's using, that's just the facts of the matter. We're under attack with an epidemic of addiction. You all know someone who is using drugs, that is addicted in some form or fashion, whether it be to pornography, whether it be to alcohol, whether it be to relationships, abusers. I mean, come on, we all know women that stay with abusive men and vice versa. It's not just that. You know, they're abusive women too, okay? I mean, but they can be free. We're here to show you that it's possible. We're here to show you that prayers are heard by Almighty God. But it costs you everything. It costs everything. So, with that being said, this is a wonderful ministry. I hope that you guys can see that, why it's a heartbeat of who we are. It's been so crazy that in the past year, you know, you'll hear, well, if people in Minden don't have food, you need to go see Jessica at the food pantry, right? We're known for that. But if the community needs to eat, they come here. They know who to call, right? Isn't that good? Well, guess what? Do you know how many phone calls I've gotten from people of other churches saying, hey, so-and-so from this church or this person said to call you, that you know what to do, that your church knows what to do with about a drug addict. Yes! Oh, do you know? Nobody wants to deal with drug addicts. They're always like, oh, I don't want to do, oh no, they'll steal from you, they'll lie from you, they'll tell you awful things. They are just, Yeah, call us. Oh yeah, call the Christian church. Send them here because we will love the snot out of them when everybody else has said no. Do I think that Teen Challenge is the only answer? No, I don't. But does it work? Amen. 100% it does. I will always recommend for people to go there. But the love of God is what changes us. And if people can believe, if our community can start understanding that they are the most broken, dirty, aggressive, drug-using, IV-using people, you send them to us. Send them here. We want them. Because when I look at, when I face Jesus, when I come face to face with him and he asks me, what did you do with what I gave you? Christian church at Minden, what did we do with what he gave us? Did we reject them because they're dirty and they cuss at us when we bring bags to their car because we don't do it fast enough or we didn't give them an extra bag of popcorn? No. I mean, come on. We love people when they don't deserve it because it's so easy to love our family that you know, it's easy to love people who are nice to you, who do nice things for you. But it sure ain't easy to love people who spit in your face, who steal from you, who lie to you, who take from you and take and take. Now, don't get me wrong. There are boundaries in place. But we're not showing them to us. We're showing them to him. Show up here. Start serving. Start coming and seeing what the heartbeat of God really looks like. My prayer this past year has been that I could be perfected in his love, to have a deep understanding of it. And love it on drug addicts? That's the heartbeat of who he is. Because it's hard. But man, they're so worth it. So I need y'all to partner with us in prayer, especially. We were going into the jails, and man, we all love it. Lisa, I know you miss it, girl. It's easy to go in there and love on them. I don't even care. It's so good. But there's a new warden, and we need to get back into the jail. We've helped. I've lost count. There are four women that we have personally helped the Generation House get into Teen Challenge right now that are in there. And that's with coronavirus. That's being limited to our resources, right? Man, I can't tell you how many applications that we put in this year. And half of this year was completely stopped due to the chaos. Imagine what it's going to be like when we get back in there. We're going to be busy. Wake up, church. Let's be busy. There's so much to do. Amen. A lot of people always ask me, what do you need? What's the Generation House need? What do we need? Money. Duh. Money. Yes, we love your prayers, but money. We have people that have never stepped foot in this church who donate every month. Thank God. Thank God. We have businesses like GoFresh that give to us constantly. Thank God for GoFresh. And if y'all don't support that business, shame on you. Shame on each and every one of you, because she gives back to the community and she employs the women who don't have a vehicle so they can walk to work and get back on their feet. She gives opportunities to women who other people look at and say, look at your felonies. You know, look at these felonies. I'm not going to let you work for me. And she gives them a chance. And has she been burned? Yes. But does that stop her from giving people opportunity and showing them the love of God, especially when it's involved in her business? Tell me that's not faith. Faith that can move the heart of God, that'll support her. So if you don't support her business, shame on you. Because that woman, that place is the heartbeat of who he is. And it's not easy being the boss over a whole bunch of ex-drug addicts, okay? We got pride issues still that we're working on. We still think we know everything sometimes. Pray for Jody. Yes, please. Because they're partnered with Generation House. She does Freedom School every Monday night. Any woman in this facility is welcome to come. We just get so good. So if you want to give, if there are ways that you want to give, we'll take up an offering at the end of the service. If you want to do cashless, and every dollar helps. And it just goes to paying the bills, just to keeping the lights on. That is literally what it pays for. Insurance on the building. I mean, that's it. It's not hidden anywhere else. It goes into paying for the building so that we can keep our doors open, so that we can keep seeing restoration and lives changed and set free, and really opportunity, because we are a launch pad for the future of these women's lives. so grateful for this ministry. I'm so grateful. Not everybody has pastors for parents, you know. But this is our PayPal. If you want to take a picture of it, because I know it's a lot easier to do PayPal once a month. We haven't got the text to give set up yet. We will work on it eventually. Matthew, I'm just kidding. Matthew's been wonderful. He's amazing. He's the whole reason we have this. I love you. So I'm going to go ahead and dismiss this. We're just going to pray really fast. And if you want to give, there will be buckets up here. If you feel moved in your heart to give, then that's great. Oh, one bucket. That's fine. Yep, we don't need two. It's cool, Greg. It's all good. One bucket. If you feel in your heart to give, that's awesome. It really just goes back into the house. That's it. And we're going to, huh? Oh, and we have a sewing machine outside for your debit and credit cards. Oh, yeah, we fancy. You can swipe it. I hope, and if anybody needs prayer today, if you're dealing with addiction, you don't have to. You don't have to. But hear me in this. You have to be willing to lay it down. And if you don't want to lay it down yet, then that's on you. It's on you. But you can be free. You can be free. And we have amazing inner healing and intercession teams that are going to be up here. Pastor Angel will be up here. Pastor Ginger, Serena, Marvely, wherever she is. Angela Staniland. Yeah, I mean, if y'all want the men up here, I guess. But I mean, since it's a women's service, I really just kind of want women to pray for you. So sorry, guys. If you do feel led, and if you have any questions, if you don't know Jesus, you can today. It'll change your life, and you'll never be the same. And that's the honest truth. So if everybody will stand.